ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Bees Blank, I am Branham. It is Brian behind the glass, and it is a Thursday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Lots to get to today. We'll figure out a way to talk about C.J. Stroud as we continue this time in Texans history where we're shrouded in mystery. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll find a way. I don't know how we're going to do it today, but we'll figure out a way. Quarterback news in the NFL. Rodgers is going to play another year in the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise. Lots to get you. Bad Take Boulevard. It is a Thursday after all, but the Astros lost a baseball game yesterday. Is it so Astros that you beat Paul Skeens and then you lose to a journeyman who has an ERA north of 8?
You kind of beat me to it. I was like, we were talking yesterday as, I guess, I want to say bad, but he hasn't been great, Gusto. But you're like, well, you're facing a guy that has an ERA that's close to 8. You should be in a good spot. Every time you're supposed to be in a good spot when you're the Astros, it seems like that's when you trip and you fall and you stumble and you embarrass yourself and you lose like you did again last night. And it just seems to be so apropos for a team that, like you said, can beat good pitchers and can compete with some of the best pitchers in the game. But last night was just another one of those games where a less-than team with a lineup that we talked about and a pitcher that wasn't great but hadn't pitched a lot got the best of them.
Yeah, not a great performance by the Astros. Offensively, it was dreadful. Yeah. I mean, it's as bad as you can get. Not only do you have a putrid night offensively, but you had a putrid night offensively against a guy who had an ERA north of 8. I mean, if you did this against Paul Skeens, you still wouldn't love it. But you're like, okay, tip your cap.
Right.
You are Paul Skeens. You don't expect this when you're facing a dude with a north of an 8 ERA. So the offense was dreadful. I think that was the biggest storyline of yesterday's game, quite frankly, was that it was a dreadful offense.
Yeah, and I think that in part it's one thing when not everybody's hitting, but the other thing is you did have some opportunities to at least manufacture a run, or you had, you know, guys on second base with nobody out, and the whole inning just fell apart after that, and it just seemed like they couldn't get timely hitting. They didn't take advantage of any chances that they had, and as the game wore on, you're like, oh, it's going to be one of those games.
Yeah. So the only good news that happened yesterday was the Mariners lost. So you're still in first place. Still in first place, yep. The Houston Astros. Mariners are playing a baseball game right now. We'll monitor that. The second storyline was on the mound. Ryan Gusto in the game, which is more like Ryan Apathy. Nothing gusto about his performance yesterday. 3 runs, 8 hits, 4 1/3, couple of walks, punched out 3. What did you think of Gusto on the mound yesterday in Pittsburgh?
I mean, we talked about him even leading up to this start where I had kind of lost confidence in Ryan Gusto. And I think that it's tough from a couple of different fronts because over the last 7 games, he's got an ERA that's almost at 7. He's 0-2. I think he's got major league stuff. I think that it's unfortunate that they kind of rushed him into being a starter, but I just think that right now, when we talk about the fact that now Lance looks like he's in the mix, but it was just Fromber and Hunter Brown where you said when they pitch, you got a really good chance to win, and then when the other 3 guys pitch, not and Lance is now in that mix where you feel more confident, but it looks like it's going to be an uphill battle. And with him, I just don't know how many more times you're going to throw him out there. The problem is you don't know who you're going to replace him with. But the bigger issue to me, too, is not only that he's struggling, but also that he's not giving you 5-6 innings or just trying to save your bullpen, and you got to go to the bullpen earlier, too. But I just think right now I don't have any confidence in him.
Yeah, I think 6 innings is a little bit like, obviously, you'd love that. I feel like that's asking for too much at this stage of who Ryan Gusto is. Like, I'd be happy if he gets you through 5, and then you turn it over to a bullpen that's been pretty good. And the bullpen was very good yesterday. Like, if you're looking for a silver lining, something that you can look at and be like, yeah, love that. Okert, inning in 2/3, no runs, no hits. Brian King, a perfect 8th inning or 7th inning, and then Souza pitched a perfect 8th inning. So, like, that was the only good thing that happened in yesterday's game. I guess Pena extending his hitting streak, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I'd be happy with 5 innings with Gusto. I'm with you. Like, I do think that Gusto got a bit baseballed yesterday, though. Like, that 2-run second inning I thought was pretty unlucky. 2 infield singles. Tommy Pham let off the inning with a play that was originally called out. I thought it was going to stand. I didn't think there was enough to overturn it, but they overturned it. So he's on first base, much different with a runner at first base, nobody out versus nobody on one out. O'Neill Cruz had the infield single later in that inning, which I think Mauricio Dubon would have made that play that Jose Altuve did not make. So I do think that Gusto got baseballed a bit yesterday, babbipped a bit yesterday. Like if you baseball savant does a hard hit against each pitcher, and I think that the parameter there is 95 off the bat. So 95 exit velo off the bat would be a hard hit, according to Baseball Savant. Ryan Gusto gave up 6, which ain't great. But Burrows, the Pirates started to give up 11. So it's like one of those days where how bad was Gusto? There was a lot of soft contact. Now, on the other side of that, on the other hand, I did think that Gusto later in his start actually gave up hard contact that was caught for outs. Like there were, I can't remember the inning, but it was like a hard fly ball to right, a line drive to Jake Myers. So I felt that Gusto was unlucky when he gave up runs, and I actually felt he was lucky later in his start. And I felt like the Astros offense was a little bit unlucky too. So I don't really have an argument against you that Gusto is like, you don't really have a lot of confidence whenever he's on the mound. Mm-hmm. It does lead to the question, like, how long do you stick with Ryan Gusto? For me, I do it for like at least another few weeks.
God, it's tough to, I mean, it's just to think about that simply because of the fact you'd like to say that in the past, when we hadn't seen blue ball at the major league level yet, that maybe he can give you, you know, 5 innings. Maybe he can be a guy that can kind of bridge the gap and give you some things. And he didn't look great when they brought him up. I don't think they have plans to bring him up yet again, or to bring him back. I think that you look at Sugarland and you think that, you know, in a lot of ways, they've already exhausted the guys that you could pick and choose as starters that could fill in already. You have Uluna that's still down there, but like you said, he's not on the roster. You'd have to make a move there. But is he going to, you know, he's never been up before. Is he going to be a guy that's going to give you more than what Gusto's been able to give you?
I think that he would. I think Ulola, or however you say his name, would be better than Gusto. But the reason that I'm not doing it yet is the service time manipulation. Because if you called up Ulola right now, then you're losing that final, that sixth year. You're wasting almost a full year of him. So, like, I would rather, because I don't even know if he's going to be better than Gusto. I think he would. Like, gun to my head, who would you trust more in a big league start tomorrow? I would agree that Ulola, or however you say his name, PCL Pitcher of the Month, would give you a better chance to win. But is it worth it for 2 or 3 starts whenever you could service time manipulate? I don't think so. That's why I think Gusto's going to have a few more starts, whether it's until Arrigetti comes back, until it's to the point where, like, okay, we can – because I think, like, July 1st is usually the date where you can bring up a rookie comfortably and still get that sixth year. You don't lose the year, burn the year. Like, that's what everybody's mad about with Caglione, is that they called him up. Some people feel too soon. Kansas City people and baseball people, like the players, don't agree, but, you know, that's their problem. So I don't think that he's an option yet. Now, Brandon Walter pitched pretty well, shut out Tampa Bay. Now, that's a lineup that was not good against lefties. Brandon Walter's left-handed. So, like, would you rather see Brandon Walter or Ryan Gusto? Like, I think that's a fair question. Yep. And then the other one that you're waiting on is Spencer Arrigetti. Now, Dana Brown talked about that and with the flagship. And they're saying they're going to give Arrigetti a full spring training. So, like, that's looking like a mid-July, maybe even all-star break.
Yeah, and that by that time, that's why I worry that – you know, you're in a good position right now, unlike a year ago. You like you said, you're half game up in first place. You're in a good spot, and you have total confidence in your first two starters. But you got 3 other guys that you got to rely on, and now you're relying even more so on Lance McCullers. And because he's shown you what he's shown you the last 2 games, you're hoping and believing that that's just going to continue to where he can be a guy that gives you a fighting chance. I believe Gordon's got the stuff to give you a fighting chance, but his last start wasn't great. And now we're talking about Gusto at the back side, to where you don't want to put yourself in a tough situation because you keep throwing these guys out there.
So what would you do?
I mean, I honestly would look to someone else from Sugarland, whether it be Ulola or whether it be...
So you'd burn the year on him, huh?
I would. Simply because with the pitchers, we just don't know what we don't know.
It's like 2 starts. It's like 3 starts.
But if he's good, maybe it's more.
No. I'm saying that's what you're getting here. Because if you wait, I mean, if you wait until July 1st, like, what is that? That's probably going to be like 25. Maybe it's more than 3 starts. Maybe it's like 5 starts. But if you wait 4 more weeks, then you get the additional year on him. I'm not burning the additional year for 4 starts.
Well, and maybe it's you just have to live through the 4 starts and then plan accordingly, simply because you want to play it from a smart perspective, from a baseball perspective, and realize that when you look at the schedule and it's easing up a little bit, but hopefully that you can get through 4 starts. it's just taxing on the bullpen too. Like if he's not going to go deep and he's going to give up runs, and if especially if he goes back to back with those two guys not going deep and puts you in a tough hole, now you're really exhausting your bullpen in back to back games.
Yeah. So I mean, we agree to disagree on that one.
Sure.
You'd be willing to do it. I'm not. I don't want to do it. I don't want to burn the extra year on you, Lola. I think, to me, I want that extra year. I do think after, and I know Gusto's line score wasn't great, I'm not ready to like take him out of the rotation yet. I think that I saw enough from his start yesterday where I would like to see him get another start. Like the command, I thought he was fine second inning on. Like he loaded the bases in the first inning, walked two guys, and then he clipped the other guy, bases loaded, two outs. He didn't walk anybody else the rest of the game. So, like, was the command improved yesterday? It was after the first inning. I want to see Gusto at least one more time before I'm even considering somebody else. Mm-hmm. Now, if I do have to make a change and I'm forced into a change, I'm looking more at Jamie Moyer, Brandon Walton, before I'm looking at Yolola. Now, July, I'm all for.
Who the f*** is that guy?
We all know who he is. He looks like Jamie Moyer.
But I really believe... I'm with you. Let's put it that way. Whether it's Yolola or it's Walter, I'm fine. But I would like to see somebody else because I just think that I've seen enough of Gusto that I don't have confidence right now. And I don't know as a ball club or not, but it just seems like they put you behind the eight ball more than they're giving you a fighting chance to win. And maybe it's a discussion that we start having about Gordon if he continues to struggle.
I feel like you're being mean on Gordon.
And I've told you, I like his stuff. And I believe that he can be an effective pitcher. But and I'm not nearly to the point with him as I am Gusto, but at the same time I am concerned that you want to try and stay on top of this division and or close enough to it. And if you're giving up two starts every five,
see, that's not fair.
Okay, one and a half. How about that?
I mean, Colton Gordon in games that he started, the Astros are 3-1.
Okay,
so and like his line scored like while not top of the rotation worthy, 3 runs, 4 1/3, 3 runs, 5 1/3, 3 runs, 5 innings, 4 runs, 5 innings. Like, that's not world beating, obviously, mm-hmm. but that's keeping you in a game. And again, the Astros have won 3 of his 4 starts. Like, they're not just throwing up the white flag by starting Colton Gordon. Maybe Ryan Gusto. Like, I'll meet you halfway there, but I don't believe that with Colton Gordon.
And that's fair. I've said I like his stuff. I believe he can compete. I'd like to see him kind of clean some stuff up, get deeper into a game. You know, I think he gave up 8 hits last time out?
He gave up five.
Okay. Well, look, I'm not ready to.
He hasn't given up 8 in a single game, Blankers. Now he's given up 7 twice, so he's almost there.
Okay. You can't just throw
out a number and it not be true.
I thought I remembered that.
I wasn't looking it up, but I wasn't trying to condemn him.
I'm not blaming
you for getting a number wrong. I'm just saying you shouldn't get mad at me for saying he hadn't given 8.
Like I said, I'm fine still going to him. But Gusto's a guy that if you have any other option right now, I'd be looking at it. Because I just don't feel like he's competitive enough to give you a chance to win.
Yeah, I think it's fair on Gusto. Astros have lost his last 4 starts, Ryan Gusto, is that right? And like a couple of them have been runaways too. Like mm-hmm. they've kind of turned into mop-up duty quickly. I was actually encouraged with some of the stuff I saw from Gusto yesterday. I'm almost to where you are. Not there yet. I would give him at least one more start. And then once, if that start comes up and he gets hit around again like a pinata, mm-hmm. then I'm going to Jamie Moyer. Give me a little Jamie Moyer. I can't burn the year of Yolola. I'm not sure. Let's see if the Astros have won a game. I mean, Gusto has 3 wins. Now, that came early. Like, that came very early. He started off in the bullpen. We all know that. He won 1 game out of the pen, and then he was turned into a starter. And in his first 3 starts, he was 2-1. Ryan Gusto. Mm-hmm. So he was competitive in April. He just hasn't been
Didn't he go through that spot, too, where they gave him some rest and they were contemplating again what to do with him, where he wasn't starting on a consistent basis. Then they threw him back in the mix. Like I said, I feel for him in a way because he was never truly stretched out like a starter. Sort of, yeah. For the most part, I think he's been trying to play catch up in terms of getting stretched out, stay stretched out. But I also think that this workload and what I've seen recently doesn't look good, and maybe some rest is better for him.
Yeah, I do think the confidence is an issue there. We're not getting the best Ryan Gusto. I think Gusto can be a starting pitcher in a rotation. Mm-hmm. Now, to your point, is he that right now? I think it's fair to say he's not. But what are your other options? I think we went through them. He started the year, Gusto, in the bullpen, 4 pinches out of the pen. They turned him into a starter. He was getting normal starts. Like, he pitched April 12th, the 18th, the 23rd, the 29th. And then I think that was around the time that McCullers came back. And then he went to the bullpen on the 4th and then didn't start a game again until the 12th. And in his last few appearances, threw out a relief one game. But since then, you're right. Like, the numbers haven't been nearly as good his second stint as a starter than his first stint. First stint as a starter, you liked what you saw.
I was pleased early.
He had two starts where he went two runs, five innings. One run, 5 2/3. Punched out 6 in that second game. So there were flashes there back in April. That's why we're not getting the best Ryan Gusto. That's why I give him a little bit of a leash here. And also because the options aren't great. Like, we're talking Brandon Walter. A.J. Blue Ball has been worse than Ryan Gusto at the AAA level. I do think Yolola would be better, but then we just have a fundamental disagreement on, you know, do we want to burn that extra year?
Right.
And you would, I wouldn't. Which
yeah, I understand it. I just think that right now it just depends on how focused you are on trying to – I think it's also dependent upon where you are in the season, right? If you stay within a half game one way or the other in first or second place, then I'm fine still going with Gusto. If you start to slip, then I think that I don't want to call it desperate times for desperate measures, but then I got to look for another option.
I think that's a great point, because if I'm in first place and I'm staying right there, I'm teetering, then you could have the benefit of giving them a few more starts. Now, if it was going the other way and Seattle was separating from you,
now
it's a little bit more desperate.
And also, as we talk about this, we also realize that, look, there's help on the way in terms of when Yordan's going to come back, and they're looking to see what Jacob Melton can do. But, you know, there's the possibility that you're getting more help offensively, too, to where you aren't your full, complete, best look of your team for this season yet.
Right.
So, yeah, if you can just stay above water and stay right there competitively at the top of the division, it's a different story than if you start to slide.
That's big part of it, too, because, like, this isn't desperation mode. Like, you're in first place and it's June 5th. And to me, you haven't played anywhere near your ceiling. You're going to get better. Hopefully you stay healthy. You're going to get Arrigetti back. Dana Brown was on the flagship yesterday. I listened to it today. Saying that Luis Garcia is going to be back here in August. He said that. You know what? It's funny, too.
Aren't they both throwing bullpens this weekend?
Who's both? I only said one.
No, I know. Garcia and Javier.
I hadn't heard of Javier.
Yeah, I read something on one of the release or one of the tweets about where their progress was. I don't know if Dana said it or somebody said it, that they were going to throw bullpens this weekend.
That'd be great. I mean, normal team, I would expect Javier back this season. Normal team, I expected Luis Garcia back last season.
Yeah.
I did see that J.P. France supposed to throw a bullpen down in Florida.
Yes.
So, like, that's surprising. I didn't expect him at all this year, which, I mean, how much does J.P. France coming off a major shoulder surgery really help you? I don't know. Like, maybe he's your five. Maybe he's not as good as Gordon. Like, I don't. Like, J.P. France was never great.
No, and that's what I was going to say. In terms of long-term, who's got better stuff? Probably Gusto. But short-term, if you need another option at your fifth starter, J.P. France might be your guy. At least he's got experience. I don't know what the shoulder's going to be coming back off of that.
Right.
And he wasn't great before. Maybe he gets some kind of bionic surgery done in the process that's going to make his arm stronger coming back. But he could be an option.
Yeah, he's organizational depth, which is good to have. Like, I'm not poo-pooing on that. Like, I don't know that I'm looking at J.P. France as being a major factor in your season. But we all know that you need guys that can eat innings, especially during the dog days. And I think he can provide you that. Now, I don't know how close he is to coming back. Like, he's throwing a live BP in Florida. Mm-hmm. That's still 4-6 weeks minimum. Minimum.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, look, that's why I don't ever hold my breath on any deadlines or potential returns that Dana gives. But I certainly don't. At a certain point, I more so expect that Garcia is going to be shut down again than I do that we're going to see him at the end of July.
I think it's fair. I mean, history would back that up. It was funny, too, though. Dana was talking, like, it was Sean wasn't there. It was Ross and
Dan Matthews.
Yeah, Dan. And Dan asked some good questions. I was pretty pleased with his questioning, and he kind of held Dana to the fire a little bit about, like, the what are you going to learn from the Yordan thing? And Dana said, we're going to do more imaging.
There you go.
Verbatim. We're going to do more imaging. Like, my problem is, what took you so long? Yes,
we were all over that.
I mean, he flat out said, we're going to do more imaging, which is like, okay, well, why did it take you forever to realize that? Like, we're not medical experts, and we were smart enough to know that. Why isn't your medical staff smart enough to know that? And even off the Kyle Tucker injury, like, that should have been all of, like, what it took for you to do more imaging. So I was kind of like, okay, that's good to hear, but at the same time, what took you so long? 713-780-ESPN. Definitely got to keep the extra year in his contract, because you never know which year he's going to lose his arm from surgery. After all, he's an Astros pitcher. Three runs, not bad from Gusto. Yeah, 3 runs in 4 1/3 ain't great.
No, but it's also better than what he cut some of his other outings. So you hope that that's where you look like glass half full and say it wasn't bad. It ain't great.
And if I'm defending him, the two-run second inning, there were two infield singles that inning. And the inning started off originally with an out that was overturned, which, I mean, you have to have enough evidence to overturn. I thought it was bang-bang. And then maybe Dubon makes that play. Maybe if he has Mauricio Dubon behind him, he only gives up two runs yesterday. And to the point, like Rocky on the YouTube, actually it was Mr. Mills, you only need to be more worried about offense than pitching right now. Scoring zero runs will obviously win you zero games. This is not Gusto's fault. That's a fair point. Like, we can separate the two. Like, Gusto's performance was what? The offensive performance was what? But, like, what was more critical in losing yesterday's game? Mr. Mills is right. I mean, you're not going to win any game where you score zero runs.
No, so. And we talked about the night before, regardless, and the fact that Lance was able to really deal. But this is a Pirates lineup that doesn't do much offensively. But you have to do your part and put runs on the board. So it's fair to look at both and say the offense was less than, starting pitching was less than. The best part of the game was the fact that the bullpen was able to kind of keep it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Pena had a two-hit game, like, if you're looking for some silver linings. He had a green – I was blown away. Blown away. Sixth inning, Jeremy Pena's leading off the inning. You're down by three runs, 3-0 count. Jeremy Pena had the green light. That is an aggressive – green. I don't mind it, really. Like, let your players chase numbers in the regular season. That's fine by me. I just couldn't believe that Joe Espada had his leadoff man down by three in the sixth, have a 3-0 green light. I was blown away.
Yeah.
I mean, doubled, ringing double off the
wall.
Yeah,
it was. And like I said, that's one of those instances where you get a runner on second, nobody out, you can't get him around. Mm-hmm. That's kind of tough to swallow at the end of the night as well. But it's always easier said than done, right? But if you say, hey, just focus in on one pitch in one area of the plate, and if it's there, go get it. But you know, the minute they get the green light, they are looking to actually dig their cleats in and rip it.
He fell to the ground.
Yeah.
His swing was so big, he dropped to a knee. I kind of like that. I probably wouldn't have done that. That's a little aggressive for me. Again, I'm not mad at it. Here's the thing, though. If he rolls over to shortstop.
Ooh.
How does that look?
It's a different.
You give him a 3-0 green light leading off the inning, and he hits a little rollover on a 3-0 count down by three to lead off the inning?
Lead off man, leading off the inning, where you're desperately seeking runs. Yeah, if it doesn't work, yeah, you're going to hear about it.
See, I'm a huge fan of the 3-0 green light in RBI situations. Like, any RBI situation, I'm always giving a 3-0 green light. A chance to drive in a run. Runner at second, nobody out. Okay. Yeah, give me a 3-0 green light. Drive in the run. I'm always a fan of the aggressive 3-0 green light whenever it's an RBI situation. I personally would have had the take there, but I'm not mad at it. Like, it's June 4th. Payne is trying to make an all-star game. Like, and it also, I think, like, okay, get a great pitch to hit.
Right.
Drive it. What does that do for his confidence? What does that do for his momentum? I think that is tangible. I think there is value there.
And I think from a team perspective, if you get a guy that rattles one for a double, it kind of picks the team up, too, to say, okay, we're going to figure this thing out. We're going to figure this guy out. We're going to go get him, as opposed to if you work your way into a walk. Then I don't think there's – I think people took notice on the bench. Hey, it's a barreled-up baseball. Let's go get him.
Yeah.
And then they just went boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, they did. It wasn't – they hit the ball hard 11 times. But you're right. In critical moments, they weren't good. I thought Victor Caratini, at least he had the – did he hit two hits? No, he was one for four.
Yeah.
He had the double, though, early in the game.
Yeah, and he's been hitting the hell out of the baseball. I mean, again, and you tweeted this, but we talked about this off-air, I think it was a week or so ago. Dude's going to be a starter somewhere next year.
Sheesh, Blankers.
What?
Taking my info. You've been reading my notes.
I saw your tweet. I gave you credit for it.
I wonder how much money he's going to get.
Like I said, he's going to be a starter. We talked about this last week, and I think it was in the bullpen. But for as much as he's been return on investment through the roof, someone's going to give him – what were we talking about?
I need to go back and see last year's free agency class.
Was it 13?
You think he get up to 13?
Yeah, he might.
I need to see what the catchers were getting. Let's see. Last year, the catchers last year in free agency stunk. See, that's the other thing. Like, if he's the top of the class, well, there's a spike there just for being top
sure.
of the class.
Sure, and the desperation of the team involved, too. If they have a competitive team, but they desperately need a backstop that's better, they're going to overpay.
So the last year's crop of free agent catchers, this is disgusting. They sort them by war here. The best catcher in free agency last year was Kyle Higashioka, however you say his name. Higashioka not going to hear anymore.
That was the Garrett Cole personal catcher from the Yanks that went to the Padres.
Was he? He signed with the Rangers. Yeah. He got 12.5 over 2 years, so roughly $6 million a year, a little under $6 million a year. But Caratini's going to be better than that.
Yeah,
I think Caratini's going to flirt with a $10 million a year contract.
I think it's at least 10. And I think that Higashiwara is splitting time, isn't
There's
he?
There's a K in his name. Is it silent?
I thought that's the way they pronounced it. But regardless, isn't he splitting time with
I have no idea.
Jonah.
Oh, he's not starting over Heim.
Yeah, Jonah
Heim. He's probably his backup.
Right. So we're giving six plus a year.
He's getting 10, at least. I think he's going to get 30 for three.
That's what I'm saying. We're giving Kyle six a year.
Kyle's a good way to do it.
If we're giving Kyle six a year, then I firmly believe that Victor Caratini is going to be upwards of $10 million a year.
Higashioka. I pulled up the baseball reference. Okay. Higashioka. Does that sound right? Kyle Higashioka.
That sounds close.
Kyle, he's going to get waved up if he keeps doing what he's doing. He's got a 74 OPS plus. Laugh track to my jokes.
That was hilarious.
I don't know how I feel about that laugh track in my joke. Yeah, I think he's going to get $10 million a year, Victor Caratini.
Watch me. Maybe I'll end up on the high side of it, Price is Right, but I'm saying 13.
Ooh, dang.
I think he's going to get to 13. I think someone will overpay him.
You don't want to throw out a little qualifying offer for him, do you?
No.
Would you offer him? I don't know what the qualifying
offer
is.
Maybe this should be a bet about how much Caratini
See, that's what
gets.
I thought he was going with it. See, Brian, thanks for nothing.
Oh, no, the
one.
Qualifying offer is the you give him the 1 year, right, so you get the $19 million deal. Like, I think it's too much.
That's
I
don't, too much.
Yeah, I'm not giving him a $19 million 1 year deal.
No, doesn't the qualifying. Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were trying to get a draft pick by saying if you lose him in
the
agency.
Well, in order to get the draft pick, you have to offer him the qualifying offer, and he would have to reject the qualifying offer. I don't think he would reject
He'd
19 for one.
Yeah, who wouldn't at this point in his career?
Well, I mean, if you're a $15 million here, oh, for sure. If he's a $15 million a year player for 5 years, then he would turn it down.
This is the Montero type situation.
Would you offer him $19 million for 1 year?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's too much. That's too much.
No way.
I think I'm with you that it could be somewhere between the $10 to $13 million a year range. You can't be offering what you think is your backup catcher $19 million a year.
Nope.
Can't do it. I'm like, my mind did go there. Like, how could you actually find a way for him for a 1 year deal?
Like, for the risk of he might actually take it.
What do you mean?
Like, if you're saying, like, you don't want the risk of him taking it and then actually coming back and playing on $19 million, like, what's your cutoff point?
Well, you're kind of reinventing the wheel here.
Okay.
Because the qualifying offer is a fixed number.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
Yeah, it's a fixed number. It's usually, I think it was like $19 million this past year. It's either $19 million or nothing. So you don't have any wiggle room there.
Okay.
But if for the sake of the conversation, what is the most I would give Caratini in a 1 year deal with the chance of him saying yes, but if he says no, I get a pick? Probably 14?
I was going to say 13. Stay with what I said, that he's going to get 13 somewhere. If you offered him 13, I think he likes it enough that he'd stay here for it. But I think in the open market, he has a good shot of getting close.
Yeah, I really
and for multiple years in the open market.
Yeah, that's like the draft pick competition. So it's a hypothetical, but to me, this is his last year as an Astro. He's going to get a starting job next year. Upwards, I think he'll get a double-digit million-dollar deal. Anything else from the game yesterday?
I think that's about it.
Rough night for the rookies. Jacob Melton, 0-for-3, struck out 3 times. Cam Smith. 0-for-3, punch out.
Bum.
Have you seen Cam Smith's last 5 games?
Not good.
0-for-13, 6 punchies for Cam
Not
Smith.
And I believe, because I heard this on the radio broadcast last night, I think his last home run was like April 18th.
Would he was it the 2-home-run game? Was that his last
one? It might have been, but it was like mid-April. We're
like
a month and
that?
A half now since he homered.
Let me look. No.
Ouch.
Yeah, he hasn't homered since April 18th, 2-homer game. So how many at-bats between his last home run? Do you want to venture a guess?
How many last home run? At-bats, not plate appearances?
Let's go plate appearances.
Let's go 60.
I was thinking more like 80.
Let's try on 125 for size.
Oof.
Since his last home run, he has had 125 PAs, 110 at-bats. Now, he's hit 255, and he's slugging. His OPS is 671. The slug's not great, 327. On base is ahead of slug, which isn't great for a power hitter.
No, the power hasn't been there.
The power has not been
there. Which, I know the Astros played off the idea of him struggling with power, even though he profiled as a guy that hits the other way a lot, but maybe that's something to watch going forward.
I feel like he's just had trouble barreling up a bunch of balls. Like he's played.
Could that be because he's trying to adjust the swing to pull the ball more?
Maybe. I don't think it's the case, but I couldn't dismiss it. And he has pulled the ball more, actually. So maybe. I like the plate appearances. I mean, on base, the 344 is good. Like, that's a solid on base, but... Yeah, he hadn't hit for the slug. I wish they would have started him off in the minors. I'd like the extra year, man.
I understand it.
Believe service time manipulation. I had a good conversation on Twitter today with Ethan. Ethan was questioning my morals and my ethics because I believe in service time manipulation. Yeah.
How'd it get to that level?
Because I believe in service time manipulation. He felt that you should reward a player who's playing well. I believe as the general manager of a team, you should be doing in the best interest of your team. Yes. And the owner is your boss, not the player. And he questioned my ethics and my and
people
my,
on that side will make the accusation of, oh, you're messing with their lives. These kids have earned it. I'm okay.
Yeah, they have to wait 3 months before they make a prorated six-figure salary, man. What a poor guy. No, it was a good conversation, though. All right, 713-780-ESPN. If you have anything on the Astros game, we'll talk about that on the other side, too. We'll get to the NBA Finals a little bit later. Bad Take Boulevard coming up. Texans talk. And then a bunch of quarterback news, huh? How about Alex Rodriguez? Aaron Rodgers, the other A-Rod, signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Plenty to get to. 713-780-ESPN if you want to join in on the fun. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On TikTok at ESPN 975. Joel's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Beast. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN. Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Texture late to comment, but the laugh track was hilarious. Shut up. AJ's going to be with us tomorrow?
Yes, he will be.
Where are you going to be?
Filling in for Michael.
Oh, okay. So you're not with us tomorrow.
No. Oh, and also Monday, also filling in for Michael. FYI.
You want to see if they got funnel cakes at the...
Oh, it's not my zero-calorie thing, but sure.
Okay.
From Rack and Pete, I know the fun with CJ's conspiracy theory name was yesterday, but I have one for everyone's favorite injured Astro. Handle with care. The Yordan Alvarez story. It's okay.
It's
work in progress.
It's okay, Rack and Pete. We might have to demote your nickname from Rack and Pete to... Mediocre, Pete. I'm kidding. Shrouded in mystery is what we landed on, though, with C.J. Stroud. Junior Caminero will win AL MVP, and Taj Bradley will win Cy Young this season. Good Take Boulevard. That's our resident Rays fan that owes us Chick-fil-A, who he has been efforting to send it to us, and I've dropped the ball there because I don't really read my social media. I just actually, his text reminded me to respond to him, so I literally just responded to him.
Okay.
But he's been trying to get it to us since Monday, and, like, I don't check my DMs, and yeah, I dropped the ball there. But he's our resident Ray fan. Caminero's been good. He's been on a heater. He might make the All-Star game, but MVP, haha. How about that nickname, Kill a Cam? Kill a Walk, Cam. I mean, he gets on base. A decent
Not looking
clip.
To kill the baseball out of the ballpark.
He's got a Kill a Eye, that Kill a Cam.
Can he still be Killa if he's not hitting home runs?
He's
more like Manslaughter Cam.
Whoa.
Lesser charge.
Whoa. Hit the laugh track. That's brutal.
All right,
terrible, dude. Kill a Cam. He's got a good eye. Now, texture, bad night for the team. The rookies shouldn't be carrying them, not getting paid. Okay, let's move the goalposts. One day, Kill a Cam's top three in WAR, and then the next day, he shouldn't be worried to be carrying the team. Pick a side, Israel. Be strong with your stance.
Was that
here.
His first text of the day?
No, it was not.
There you go.
No, we like Israel. We want interaction. We're the second most interactive radio show in the city of Houston.
Says Paul.
409, Josh, the Astros medical staff may stay at a Holiday Inn, but at least they listen to your show. It's a good point. They do listen to our show. David Robertson, still not signed. Why? Called Dana Brown. Robertson's always been your guy. Is he still a free agent?
Yeah, I was just going to say, is he not with somebody? I thought somebody claimed him late, like Philly. Maybe it wasn't Philly. So I thought someone picked him up right before the season started.
The thing is, though, the Astros bullpen doesn't need help.
Yeah, no, they've been
fine. He's a million years old.
Yeah, Robertson's still been solid. He's 40.
Is he still pitching?
He hasn't logged an inning this year. Google says that he is a free agent, David Robertson. He was solid last year. Let's see. Last year, pitched with Texas to a 3 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the Astros don't need relievers.
No, they need a starter if they need anything.
The relievers are fine. You're not thinking
I thought he had a rough stretch in the not-so-distant future. Maybe that was with Miami or past. Sorry, not-so-distant past.
I was so confused for a second.
Yeah, no.
Not-so-distant future.
Not-so-distant future. That's a good name for a band or a movie or something. No, but I think it was Miami that he struggled
Brian's
with.
Brian's not going to be with us tomorrow, so he's getting all his bad jokes out of the way.
But he won't laugh track himself.
I did for the last one.
Yeah, after
that wasn't a joke. I just stumbled my word.
After it was called on. Let's see. Robertson last year. Looks like he had a bad May last year, but was really good the rest of the way. So that would be the not-so-distant past, I guess. But again, the Astros don't need a reliever. Like, they don't need David Robertson. They have one of the best bullpens in baseball. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Israel, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Yeah. Y'all got jokes about Cam. Now, it's Cam's fault that these veterans is not stepping up the
No
park.
One said that,
you
Israel.
Know what I mean?
No one said that.
I'm saying, well,
you're saying that we
you're
said
saying we said it, Israel.
Okay. I said it's Cam's fault now. I didn't say y'all said it's Cam's fault. I said it's Cam.
You
y'all,
alluded
but
to
look,
it.
Well, how
don't make
the,
us go to the table.
Y'all, let me go. Can I say something? Hold on. What about these vets? What are they doing? You wanted Cam to be, first of all, you don't think he should be in the majors anyway. Now y'all talking about he's not. Who said that he was going to be the slugger of the team with the home runs? He's playing his position. What is his war? Who can replace him on the team right now at his position? His war is 1.1. He's the best at his position.
Dropped to 1.0.
Okay, 1.0. It's not in the negative. Like your boy Kunkel, which he's going on 26-01.
Dang!
Whoa!
Shots fired early.
He was bringing it up. It's not negative. You know, you want to hear the negatives of the other veterans who getting the money. And look at him. You wanted him to go to the minors. He deserved to be in the majors because at one, he's in a positive force position, and two, he's out betting still a lot of the vets who are getting the big money in the free agents acquisitions.
Israel.
So don't put it on him. Gotcha. You can't put it on other rookies. Put it on the vets who are not producing, who's supposed to have the big, who getting paid to have the bets. He's not. He was like almost like a throw-in. The Paredes, the third baseman, was the main major guy in that deal.
Did you just say Cam was a throw-in?
Even coming from your own mouth, he shouldn't be in the majors. But he ain't in the majors, and he producer.
Israel, let me ask you a question.
I'll ask a question.
Then you can ask a question. But I said I wanted to ask a question first.
Israel,
you like Cam? We all like Cam to a varying degree. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one's sour on Cam. We all like Cam. But Israel, would you rather have 3 months of Cam or would you rather have a full year of Cam?
This is the thing.
Hang up on Israel. Israel will learn his lesson. This is Killer B classical conditioning. Whenever we ask you a question, you must give us an answer. If you don't, you're not going to hang out with the Killer Bees. It's our show, Israel. It's our show. If you want it, we love you, Israel. We really do. I hate to do it, but it's like punishing your kid. Sometimes you just got to. If we're going to have a conversation, you got to answer the questions. And then I'll answer your questions. I have no problem with that. But no one dislikes Cam Smith. And I think Israel brings up a good point. Like, did the Astros get shut out because of Cam Smith? No, it does fall more on the veterans and the guys making more money. I agree with them there. But, yeah. We all like Cam, though, Israel.
Well, if Jeremy Branham says so, I guess Cam Smith is ass.
He was last night, and he has been in his last 15
games.
Yeah. He has been 0-13 in his last five games. Not-so-killer Cam recently. Yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, we all believe in him. I believe in him long-term. But this is his first go-around, and he got really just, you know, pushed up the food chain and in there as fast as he could. It ain't working out right now.
I thought the show was called The Killer Bees, not that irritating Israel. Israel's calls are literally the worst. We're not going to read bad things that you have to say about our listeners. 713-780-3776. You're not going to insult Israel by calling his calls the worst and then expect him to be right on The Killer Bees. 713-780-3776. Kyle Gibson is better than Gordon or Gusto. I won't give you Gordon. I'd rather have Gordon than Gibson. And I'm pretty sure Gibson was DFA'd. Wasn't he DFA'd? Pretty sure he's DFA'd. His numbers have been brutal. He's got a 16.78 ERA this year. Ooh. Kyle Gibson. I'm pretty sure he got DFA'd by Baltimore. I'm like very confident. I'm like 90% sure. I have a little bit of doubt, but I'm 90% sure. Yeah, he got claimed by the Rays. He didn't get claimed by the Rays. He got DFA'd. He then got released, and then the Rays, I believe, signed him on a minor league deal. So, no. No on Kyle Gibson. He's been a trash can. He's been a tomato can. He's been awful. All right. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. I think we covered Israel there. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk NBA Finals. They begin tonight. Oklahoma City, Indy. Who do we got? What's our level of interest in the NBA Finals? And are the Rockets more Oklahoma City or are they more Pacers? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
NBA Finals begin tonight. You know who your radio home in the NBA Finals are in Houston?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, I was just throwing that out there asking. No, I'm just kidding. I knew what it was. Game one tonight, Oklahoma City, Paycom Center in Oklahoma City. Thunder are favored by 9.5 points tonight. How do you see the series going?
I said Thunder at 6. I think Indiana's going to win 2 games. I think they're going to play good at home. I just think that from the stand, what it really comes down to me is they're both young teams. They both can play defense. I just feel like there's more depth of offensive scoring possibilities with the Thunder, and execution in the final 3-4 minutes matters. And I see the Pacers turn the ball over a lot and get real stagnant in the final minutes of a game. And I see Oklahoma City consistently execute and get open shots. And I think that's a big part of what it's going to come down to for me.
Ditto.
That's the end of analysis?
Ditto. No, I agree. I have it as a 6-game series, but not like a competitive 6-game series. Like, I think OKC wins 6 games easily. Like, I'm thinking they win 3-1. Like, sorry.
Get up 3-1.
I think they get up 3-1, lose game 5. Well, actually, it's 2-3-2, isn't it, in the finals?
Yeah,
it still is, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that they easily win the 2 games at home. I think they go to Indy, kind of play with their food a little bit, win a game of the 3 games on the road, and then come back home and just blow out Indy in game 6. I think this is a non-competitive Thunder in 6. They're the heavy favorites in this series, too. Did you see the odds? They're minus 700 to win the final. There's no value in Oklahoma City.
No, not at all.
-700.
Like, the value might be from game to game. Like, tonight, if you believe that there's going to be some rust on the Thunder, it went from 10 to 9.5. But still, if you think that the Pacers can get within in one of these games, you can probably get more on a single game bet trying to play the spread than the series itself, because I think everybody is convinced the Thunder's going to win it.
Yeah. Would there be value in playing Thunder in 5 or a Thunder sweep?
I'd have to look at that, but I don't hate the. I wouldn't go Thunder sweep.
Because my personal pick is Thunder in 5. So I mean, obviously picking the Thunder to win the series outright, like you said, there's no value there. But if you go into the specific in this amount of games, there might be some value there.
You can get plus. I mean, it's only plus 205.
Still plus money though.
5-game series is plus 205. That ain't great. 6-game series is plus 270.
Odd.
That is, yeah. Well, no, it's even because it's 6. But no, it's.
God.
Where's your laugh track there?
I mean, you didn't need one because Brian was cackling in the back. He loved that joke Brian did. No, I think that the value might be like the MVP if you don't think that it's Shea. Like, if you don't think that it's SGA, I think you can find value there. Shea's the MVP favorite, minus 550. Like, it's insane. Minus 550 to win the MVP. Halliburton second at plus 700. I think the value would be, if you think OKC dominates the series, is picking a Thunder to win the final MVP that's not SGA. He's plus 2,500. There you go. Yeah. I think that's where the value comes into play. Like, if you don't want to play anything Pacers, the series things are odd. I think that's where the value's at in the series, is a non-SGA Thunder MVP pick.
Maybe
Jalen's plus 2,500. Chet, which I don't love Chet, but he's plus 7,500. And then you drop down a bit. Hardenstein's fourth, tied for
really?
Fourth. He's tied for fourth with Lou Dort.
I was going to say Dort might be up there, especially if he defends well. He's probably going to get, I would think he's going to get either Halliburton or...
I think that's the play. Jalen at plus 2,500.
Sounds like a pretty good bet.
I think that's it. That's the only thing I like. Now, you could do the series.
I think I would play Thunder in five.
I don't love that the Thunder in five, or it's not even Thunder in five. It's just length of series.
Oh, okay.
I don't love that the length of series has better odds for six than five.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I'd have to go look at, let's see. Yeah, I don't.
Well, that is just playing it more down the middle, though, of the average overall series.
You could go exact series order. If you think OKC wins game one and game two, how do you think it goes in the next three?
I would have it OKC games one, two, and three. Gentlemen sweep. Pacers win game four. Thunder finish it up in five.
See, I think
you can get plus 680 on that.
Yeah, I would take that bet.
I think Indiana wins their first one at home. I think, and Oklahoma City, especially if they win the first two, they've shown that they relax a little bit.
Oh, my bad. It's plus 880 in your scenario. It's plus 680 in your scenario. OKC winning the first three, Indy four, Oklahoma City five is plus 880. Your scenario, OKC the first two at home, Indy wins the first game at home in game three, OKC is plus 680.
Okay.
So you'd rather have that one than plus 880?
I just feel like Indiana somehow is going to squeak out another one to where it goes six. But if that was the scenario, I could go with that.
How about, well, okay, so hit me up with the series in order. OKC. Indy.
Well, see, I think in order to go six, maybe, well, I was going to say Indiana normally plays well in game one, and they got game one in, I think, two of their first three series.
Well, they definitely got against New York, obviously.
But I don't think they get game one tonight. I would go OKC, Indiana, OKC, Indiana, OKC.
Okay.
So
they win three
and
five.
Takes the bookend games at home. They lose the middle game, and then OKC wraps it up at home.
Plus 2,500. That's some good value. That might be the play.
Yeah.
That might be better. I like that more than Jalen.
They're both plus 25, right?
Yeah. The problem is you have to hit the exact order.
Yeah. I think I'd rather take the shot on Jalen just has a monster series.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Who are the Rockets more like, you think, Indy or OKC?
It's tough because I think that in both cases you're looking for that the stars. You're looking for the star power, the guys that take you to the next level. I think that regardless of what level you put Halliburton on going into the season or going into the midseason or whenever people started calling him overrated, I think Halliburton has elevated to the point where he is star caliber. I think that Siakam is star caliber. I think that obviously SGA is star caliber. And then when you go to Jalen Williams and you go to guys like Chet and how deep they are, I just feel like the Rockets are still lacking that. They have a Şengün type, but you still need that one go-to guy. And look, maybe it comes down to the point, that's why this is so critical this offseason. Because Indiana, they had Sabonis, and they had a guy that was a close to all-star caliber player that was playing really well. And they dumped out on him to Sacramento to get Halliburton, and Halliburton has turned out to be exactly what they needed. Same thing when Paul George got traded, and they, as part of the deal, they got SGA, and SGA has blossomed into that guy that the Rockets need. I feel like this is where the Rockets is lacking, where they need that guy, and maybe that's why it's hard for me to say they're closer to either one of those two teams.
Yeah, I think they had to pick one.
Okay, I'll take OKC because of the fact that they are stockpiling draft picks.
Yeah.
And they do have a boatload of young talent without having some of the veterans like Siakam and the guys that Turner that Indiana had.
Yeah, I think they're much closer to OKC, but also lack that SGA type of thing. So they don't go 2-3-2 anymore. They go 2-2-1-1. Do you know how long they've been going 2-2-1-1?
No.
You want to let's venture a guess here.
5 years.
3 years.
They've went 2-1-1-1 since 2014.
Oops.
Oh, man.
Come on, Blakers. You're our basketball
expert.
I've
been out of the league.
That would have been a LeBron James.
I've been out of the league for 10 years.
Miami Heat series?
They haven't been 2-3-2 since 2014.
God.
Isn't that also kind of like the shows you how compelling the finals have been?
Yeah. I mean, we've been out of touch in Houston, too. We haven't had a team that's really in the mix. 713-780-ESPN. Ocho, I'm curious to see how Presti manages this dynastic opportunity going forward. This man has constructed the youngest team in the NBA, has a 26-year-old MVP, two emerging stars on rookie contracts, two first-round picks in the coming draft, and 11 picks from now until 2030. Wow, that is pretty impressive. Maybe he blows it up. Like, they're going to have to get into the aprons here pretty soon, though.
But they are. But I'll say one thing to his credit, and it's the toughest thing in sports to do, especially when you have young guys that feel like they're being held back or that they should be a guy that, if got given the right amount of time, minutes, and role, that they could be a star player. He's got a lot of these young guys buying into the fact that I just want to play my role, do whatever I can so that this team can keep winning. That's fine and dandy now, but if you taste a championship, and you know that's already checked off your resume.
Tastes good.
Now you're going to start going for it. Now you're going to look to get paid.
Yeah.
And that's when their mindset changes, and that's when it gets real tough on Sam Presti.
Indy going to smash them. Grimace emoji. Josh from Philly. I think everybody's shortchanging Indy, and I have Indy in six. They've been a sleeper the whole playoffs. Who are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for Indy.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'm rooting for OKC.
I like Indy in the fact that Halliburton's a Wisconsin kid, and I like the fact that he got basically told he was overrated, and he has done nothing less than step up every chance he's gotten. Mm-hmm. And I think I like them both, but I'm pulling for Indy.
I mean,
they're the underdog.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to keep it in the West. That's conference fair. Dominance. Plus, I want a rivalry between OKC and Houston in the future. All right. 713-780-ESPN. Bad Take Boulevard. What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard this week? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.